When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Red Sea Podcast, part of the Over the Monster Network.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Hosted by Jake Devereaux.
It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied. David Ortiz.
And featuring Keaton DeRosier.
It's a grand slam. I'm telling you.
Welcome back to the Red Sea Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux, and today I am joined by Keaton DeRosier of Over the Monster for our 250th episode of this show. Can you believe we've been doing this for 250 episodes?
It does not feel like it. It seems, I feel like the episodes have gone by fast. You know, there was time flies when you're having fun, so do the pods.
And getting angry at the Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, 250 pods is a shit ton of podcasts.
It is.
There's a lot of hours.
Yeah, so like, what, 52 weeks in a year? So
yeah,
this is like 5 years plus worth of podcasts or something. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of podcasts. So thank everybody out there who's been, you know, listening to this show for a while. Maybe we have some OGs from the days of Baseball Prospectus Boston, but you know, happy to have you guys here as listeners, guys and gals. But hey, we've got a great show for you today. You know, we're going to be talking about the big news, the injury to Chris Sale. Keaton and I are going to have a little spirited debate about what the Red Sox should do now that Chris Sale is hurt, whether or not they should be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. We're going to look at the MLB draft that's happening right now. And then finally, we're going to end the show with talking a little bit of Rule 5 and getting to your listener questions. So let's get right to it, Keaton. A lot going on, but the big news heading to the All-Star break is the injury to Chris Sale. He suffered a broken finger. And I wrote here in the agenda that it is super broken because that thing was ugly.
Yeah, I was driving back to Chicago from Minnesota, so I wasn't able to watch the game. But I knew that it was happening. And then all of a sudden, on my GPS, I saw a banner pop up on my phone that said, Chris Sale exits, and I couldn't read the rest before it went away. And I was like, oh, dear God. And I immediately thought his elbow exploded again, and I was like, what a nightmare. And then 6 hours later, finally made it back to Chicago. And I actually saw what happened, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, that's absurd. And then his reaction to it, immediately just like holding it up to the camera and just seeing janky finger, I'm like, oh, dear God, no.
Yeah, yeah, your finger is not supposed to go take a hard right. It's not supposed to do that. Yeah, that thing was real busted up. But that's what happens when you get 106-mile-an-hour ball off your smallest finger. And
Yeah,
not good.
That's an ouchie.
Yeah, that's a big ouchie, and especially for your pitching hand, not good at all. So, unfortunately, Chris Sale, like, a day after, one start, I guess I should say, after telling everybody in the media, I'm not broken anymore. Well, you're broken now.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. Especially because he looked really good in his previous start. And so, really kind of felt like some they were going to have some momentum, like a little bit of momentum, as the rest of the pitching rotation was sent into shambles with Hill and Waka and what's his face on the COVID list,
Winkowski.
Yeah, and kind of everything else falling apart. It's like, hey, don't worry, we got Sale back, you can hold it down, we're good. And then psych. And not only that, he thinks he's going to pitch again this year. The Red Sox are, they haven't released an official timeline, but they're less optimistic. We're looking at like 6 weeks abouts for him to come back. I think the conservative estimates are like 6 to 8. He thinks he's going to be a little bit more aggressive, be like 4 to 6. But the overlap there is like 6 weeks out. That's pretty tough. That doesn't leave a whole lot of time left. So the rest of the pitching staff needs to get healthy here and kind of pick him up so that, whatever's left of the season means something when he comes back. Because I still think that can be the case, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah, and the thing that just sucks about this whole situation for Chris Sale and for the Red Sox is that, you know, since he was signed by Dave Dombrowski to this extension here, 5-year deal starting in 2020, and you know, it was signed in that 2019 season where he right before the 2019 season, but he was not healthy headed into that season, not fully healthy, and we kind of knew that because of his struggles in 2018. And you know, I remember talking about it with you on this podcast at the time that it was signed, saying like, you should just wait. Like, you should wait till this deal expires at the end of 2019 and then deal with it then. And you know, he didn't. He signed the 5-year deal, and it has just really, really, really not worked out. And, you know, I think Dombrowski is to blame for the first couple years, because I think there were clear red flag health concerns with Chris Sale. But now we're to the point where, like, okay, the Tommy John's behind him. His stuff was really back. Like, in that first start against Tampa, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Chris Sale's here again. This is awesome. And now it's just to the point where, like, okay, yeah, they screwed up, but now it's just horrible luck on Chris Sale's part.
Yeah. I mean, you were right. At the time, they should have waited. There was the elbow stuff. And then even then, they shouldn't have done the PCP injection. They should have just given him the surgery, and they lost like 8 months of a timeline there. So I think to an extent the first couple of years was Dombo's fault, but they also kind of screwed themselves after the fact as well, and they shouldn't have waited to give him the Tommy John surgery, and they did, because the PCP does not work for anybody.
No,
every single person they give it to still ends up needing Tommy John. And so that just ended up delaying the inevitable. They could have gotten this stuff back. But then you're right. Like the spring training, the cracked rib thing was like, okay, that's, I mean,
it's really weird.
Yeah. And then this is like, oh man. But I know it's, you know, it's easy to look back at it now and just be like, this has just been 100% a disaster. But I think, you know, ultimately your point was right. At the time, they should have waited because there were red flags about him like constantly breaking down, never being able to actually make it through an entire season. So they should have waited for that last year to, you know, figure that all of that stuff out before giving him that full extension. But at the same time, even though they had, I don't think you can fully blame everything that's happened on Dombo and that extension. And things are just kind of getting wacky now, even with hindsight, I think. I was happy with it at the time. I wish he'd been more healthy and on the field more, but I'm still happy that Chris Sale is on the team, and when he's on the mound, he's really dominant. I'd rather have him be dominant for the Red Sox than dominant for somebody else.
What if that money could have gone to Mookie?
Oh, God, you had to do that, didn't you?
Oh, I mean, that was one of the talking points. That was one of my problems with it at the time, too.
They blamed J.D. Martinez opting in. It was his fault.
They did blame J.D., but also, like, this was when the Mookie stuff was very much in the conversation. I was like, yeah, take care of Mookie first, and then worry about the other guys. And
well, see, that's the thing is, I feel Dombrowski is not fired. Mookie's here. So,
interesting.
I don't think it would have mattered.
Yeah. Now, you might be right. I don't know. Dombrowski was pretty clear about when push comes to shove, getting his guy. So, who knows? We won't open up that wormhole right now.
That was right to the heart.
Yeah, I had to do it. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
So, anyhow, this Chris Sale injury, coupled with all of the other massive lists of injuries that this team is suffering right now, coupled with a poor bullpen, an inconsistent offense, we have to ask the question whether or not this team should be buyers or sellers heading into the trade deadline. But before we get to that, I want to kind of give some people out there a little bit of context going into this. So here is who the Red Sox have guaranteed commitments to in 2023 and beyond. So for next year, right now, who would be on the team if they literally just sat on their hands and did nothing? At catcher, they'd have Connor Wong. At first base, Tristan Casas. Okay, second base, Trevor Story. Third base, Rafael Devers for one more year. Shortstop, my boy Xander would be gone, and Downs is the most likely option there to fill in. Left field, they'd have Verdugo. Center field would be Duran, your boy. Right field, I put Franchy Cordero there because he's played a bunch of games there this year. At DH, I put Bobby Dalbec so he can't hurt anybody else in the baseball field with his fielding. starting pitcher, Sale would be the ace. Pivetta would be the two. Bayo would be the three. Whitlock, the four. And then I put as the fifth any combination of Crawford, Siebold, Brandon Walter, Chris Murphy, or Josh Winkowski. And then for the pitchers, the relievers under contract are, you know, just as uninspiring as the current group. It's Hauken Schreiber at the top, followed by Davis, Diekman for one more year, Ort, Barnes, Taylor, Danish, Darwinzen, Frank Hermann, Bazzardo, Kelly, Mata, and Vasquez. So, Valdez as well, yep. Valdez, yes, I said Vasquez, my bad. So, yeah, anyhow, if they did nothing, this team would look very, very, very different from the team that's on the field right now. The key free agents that are going to be on the team or off the team next year, in all likelihood, Xander Bogaerts, the big one, J.D. Martinez, Kike Hernandez, Christian Vasquez, JBJ, Plawecki, Strom. Sawamura has a option himself for $600K. Rich Hill, Michael Wacha, Nate Eovaldi, and James Paxton as a club option, so they can choose whether or not to bring him back. So, it's a lot of question marks. So, Keaton, what do you think they should do?
Well, before that, I do have a pick to knit.
Okay.
I would say Story's your shortstop, Downs at second.
Okay. I would like that. I'd be fine with that.
Just defensively, Story's got to play short.
I'm just worried about Story's arm being fully back, but if you tell me his arm's fully healthy, then he's absolutely the shortstop.
Yeah. But to your question, I think there should be buyers. Here's why.
Okay.
The team has won more games than they've lost. They've been in the thick of the wild card race prior to the season. We gave our predictions and where we thought the Red Sox would be. They are basically spot on to where my prediction was. I mean, they did have maybe a slight drop with the last couple losses, but with all the injuries to the starting pitching, I'll allow it. I figured they would be at like 84 wins by the end of the year, and they would be on the third wild card. I can't remember exactly where you had them.
I had them at 86 wins in the third wild card as well.
86. Okay, so that's pretty close. So yeah. Right now, Fantrax has their rest of season record at 84 and 78. So it's actually exactly where I had them preseason. And that has, this does not have just the American League East. So I'm not going to try and do that. Or just the American League, I should say. Trying to eyeball. This is terrible radio. I'm going to give up because it's really bad to listen to me try and do that. But point being, they're right on par with where I thought they would be right now. And they've also shown flashes of being a little bit better. Obviously, right now, they're in a bit of a skid. Right now, they've also hit an absolute wall with their starting pitching, and they've just kind of all exploded. A bit hard to work around that, but essentially, we have been reacting as if the sky is falling. However, they're basically meeting expectations. They, at least for me, they're not far off from where you thought they would be. As far as the position in the wild card, they're right there. A couple wins off the pace that you predicted, but they're meeting our expectations from preseason. And I know that as time passes, you're allowed to change your opinion and update expectations based on results. But the first month of the season was so bad and so frustrating. For them to be where they are right now, it's kind of impressive. Like the last 2 months, you know, like basically the last 10 games maybe aside, they played really good baseball. Then they have this offense has really turned it around. It's been incredible. I don't know what the hell is going on with Nick Pivetta, but he needs this break to figure himself out. If Nick Pivetta can get back to just half of what he was in the first half, like forget the last 3-4 starts, whatever has happened to him in July, he got monstarred. He can hold that down until Waka and Paxton and these guys come back. I don't know what you'll get out of Paxton, but there are very simple moves that you can make at the deadline to shape this roster and form it without giving up a ton of pieces on the farm. Or as something that we've talked about a lot, because we got a bunch of listener questions about it, giving up a piece or two to get Bednar and Reynolds from Pittsburgh would be a huge upgrade and a long-term investment because both those guys are under control for a very long time and they would be very great additions to this baseball team. Those would be worth giving up a piece or two. There's other pieces like Robertson, like you want them to go shore up the back end of the bullpen. There are other starters that they could add for depth, although Carter Crawford has been a revelation as of late, keeping them afloat. There are a lot of pieces that they can add to basically put their nose ahead of the people that they're around. I do not believe in, with all due respect to the Baltimore Orioles, this has been a nice little run they've been on, but it feels like they're arriving a bit ahead of time. don't believe in the White Sox, don't believe in Cleveland. So we're right back to, I really don't know what to make of Seattle because they had a really good start to the season. Then they were really, really bad for a very long time, and now they're back to being really good. I thought they were going to be really good in the beginning of the season, though, so I might believe that a little bit more. So that might be a team that's thrown in here, thrown in the mixer here. That might be something to contend with. But we're basically right back to where we were before with Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Boston. Just adding one other team in there that I think they're going to need to compete with. And when push comes to shove, I think that they would be able to compete. So this team should be a playoff team. And I don't think you would have to give up significant pieces to basically shore that up. And if you do get Chris Sale back in September, I would put this offense and a short pitching rotation up against any of these other teams in a short series. I'd feel very confident in that.
I want to be on your side so bad because I half agree with a lot of the things that you're saying. And it's weird. Again, we're switching places as you being the optimism guy and me being the pessimist here, which apparently is our permanent switch now. But so there's a whole bunch of things. So let me first start with when I predicted 86 wins for this team, that was me thinking, hey, they can win 86 wins with a healthy Chris Sale, Eovaldi pitching like most of the year, Kike Hernandez playing center field, like Bobby Dalbec not being as bad as he was. Like, I wasn't expecting him to break out or be anything special or whatever, but I was expecting him to be a spell better than he's been this year. There's just been so much that's gone wrong with this team so far. And to me, it was Chris Sale was kind of the breaking point here. And let me just go down through a bunch of these things. So just looking at their roster right now, Jaron Duran's going to play most of the rest of the season, it seems like, up with the big club because Kike Hernandez's hip issue seems to be sort of a big problem, and we don't know when he's going to come back. I'm really worried about Jaron Duran's defense. I'm also really worried about Jaron Duran's offense because I was looking at his splits today, and his splits have just not been good lately. He's batting 182. In July, and I think there's some very real holes still left in his swing, so I actually don't think that we can expect a whole lot from Jaron Duran the remainder of the year. Verdugo, Xander, JD, Rafi, I have no questions about those guys. Vasquez, I think he'll regress a little bit, but when you get down to like the bottom of the lineup, Franchy Cordero, horrible. Duran, horrible. JBJ, an unplayable baseball player. I think their lineup has too many inconsistencies. And then when I look at the starting rotation, I don't see any possible way that there's a fix for this. Even if Eovaldi pitches lights out, I think that Nick Pivetta is exactly who we thought he is. I mean, we were talking a couple weeks ago about his ex-ERA being so much worse than his true ERA. Well, now his ERA is 4.50 and his ex-ERA is 4.45. So he's basically exactly who he's supposed to be by this point in the season. So I think that there was definitely a little bit of luck there. I don't expect Pivetta to like bounce back in a huge way, so I don't know how much you can expect out of him. I already expressed my concern about Michael Wacha for the remainder of the season. I'm really worried about the shoulder. I think he's been pitching over his head as well. I don't expect a ton out of Rich Hill. I'm just wondering, like, how are they going to get these innings? And as great as Carter Crawford's been in these last few games that he's pitched, I don't think that, you know, the back end of the rotation with Pivetta, well, I say the back end, but it's really the back four, Pivetta, Crawford, Wacha, and Rich Hill, when those guys come back, I don't think that can carry you. And I, you know, Trevor Story's not going to be out long. He'll be back. He'll definitely help. Matt Strom, I don't think will be out long. He'll help in the bullpen. But I don't think this bullpen's good. I think this bullpen is a massive problem. We saw, you know, Garrett Whitlock being back was huge for this team. But overall, I just think that this team right now was poorly constructed to begin with. Worse constructed than I actually thought at the beginning of the season. And it's kind of revealed itself through the real big defensive holes that I wasn't anticipating the defense to be like this. I don't think it's fixable without investing quite a lot in this team. And when we look at the free agents here, you know, Bogarts and Kike are really the only two free agents for this team after this year that I think that Bloom may actually try and re-sign. I don't think there's any chance. Well, let's go through these guys a little bit. I mean, do you think they'll re-sign Bogarts?
Oh, boy. Do I think? Man, with every passing day, no, I don't.
Okay, so if Bogarts is expiring, I think they'll still try. JD Martinez, any chance they'll re-sign him?
No.
I don't think so either. Christian Vasquez?
I mean, I could see that.
I don't think they will, only because I don't believe that Bloom really likes his defense. So, you know, that's just me anecdotally reading into it a little too much. I'd be totally fine with Vasquez coming back, but I just don't think it's going to happen. JBJ, we don't even have to discuss that one. It's not worth talking about that. Plawecki, probably not with the emergence of Connor Wong. Where are you on him?
Yeah, it's a no.
Kike Hernandez?
Yeah, I could see that because of the versatility of the infield and the outfield.
I could see that, too.
They like those guys a lot. And, I mean, they have a ton of those guys, but he's very clearly the better of all of them.
Yeah, and also, like, it could be a one-year prove-it deal, like, to prove that he's healthy as well. You know, coming off the hip thing. So I could definitely see that. Matt Strom says he wants to be a starter next year. So that kind of throws a wrench into the plan. Do you think there's any chance they resign him?
Has he ever done that?
Yes. Early in his career with the Padres, he started.
Weird. I'm good.
Me too. I'm not in on the Strom starter experiment, although at this point we might need to experiment with it. Sawamura, you want him back?
I would take him back. It probably wouldn't take much. He's been fine.
Okay. Rich Hill?
Nah, I'm good.
Eovaldi?
I wouldn't mind.
Do you think they'll do it? He is going to be 33. He'll be in his age 33 season next year.
He's 32 right now. I think that they'll try, because I don't think it would take a whole lot, unless someone was really like, I mean, for whatever reason, like, here's another basically similar deal to what the Red Sox just gave him. But I don't know why anybody would give him that now.
Would you give him 3 years and $51
million? No.
That'd be 17 per. That's what he's making now.
I wouldn't. You think he's going to get it?
I don't know. Maybe.
I was thinking like 10. I'd give him 330.
I would probably do that, honestly, just because I know Nathan Eovaldi can pitch here. And I like the guy, and I think he's good for the staff. So if it were me in charge, I probably would. I don't know if Bloom would do that.
Yeah, so that seems like a lot for the age.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. It seems like a little bit of an overpay. I'd probably be more comfortable with like 12 or 14, but, you know, may have to do that with how crazy pitching is. James Paxton, that's a really weird one. He's got a $13 million club option. Would you pick that up?
I mean, it all depends on the rehab.
Right. Yeah, I feel like we can't properly answer that until we actually see him. Towards the end of the year.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Michael Wacha.
Yeah, I think they probably do, because I think they really liked what they've seen this year. They thought when they initially signed him that they could unlock something, and they clearly have. So I imagine they think that whatever they've done would be sustainable. They probably could feel like they could bring him back on. Well, I guess they probably feel like they could bring him back on a nice team, a deal that works for them. He probably feels great. They helped me figure my stuff out. I'm going to go make a lot of money somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, good for him. So I bet they try, but ultimately someone else gives them more money.
Yeah. I don't think they'll try and bring him back just because of what you just said. So, I mean, when I look at this list, I think Bogarts, they try to bring back. I don't know if they're successful at this point. I think they will ultimately bring back Kike. And I think there's like a 50-50 shot they bring back Nady Eovaldi. I don't really see anyone else on that list coming back. And the reason why I point this out is because I think that with all of the holes on this team, and with all the teams that you named that are currently vying for those wild card spots that are ahead of the Red Sox right now, I feel a lot more confident in the roster construction of Seattle, of Toronto, of a lot of these other teams that are right in front of the Red Sox than I do about the Red Sox. And I think that the Red Sox are pretty intent on the idea that there's going to be massive turnover next year. And so I think that Chaim Bloom is going to be a little too enticed by the idea of, okay, can I get a good prospect for JD Martinez, who just made the All-Star team again? Can I get a good prospect for Christian Vasquez, who's actually hitting really well right now and is a serviceable defensive catcher? Like, can I get anything for Dahlbeck, who's clearly not going to be the answer here? Can I get anything for, like...
The answer to that is no.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, think about what teams would pay for Nathan Eovaldi. Considering like what he did in 2018 and what he did last year, like teams would pay through the nose for Nathan Eovaldi at the deadline. I think, I think that there's too much on this team right now that is actually more valuable to other teams. And especially because we haven't seen Bloom be willing to actually like go out there and make big splashes. I mean, I guess you could say Trevor Story was a big splash. I hesitate to call it that because I feel like what he did was essentially try and replace Xander Bogaerts on this roster instead of just signing his known quantity guy to a longer term deal. But yeah, I mean,
should have been able to do both.
Should have been able to do both. I just really.
Yeah, I guess I'm also just. Maybe I'm just trying to be ignorant of what's in front of me and, you know, see no evil. But if they are sellers, then, like, I mean, like, basically what you were just pointing out, Bogarts, JD, Eovaldi, Vasquez, all those guys need to be traded because to lose them for nothing at the end of the year would be very stupid. But I think doing that also basically admits what all of us were pointing out in the offseason was that a team 2 wins from the World Series has very solvable problems that they ignored.
Yeah.
And they're just silently admitting that. And that would just really piss me off. And I'm just really hoping that they're not going to just try and be like, well, you know, we ran into some injuries, tough luck. You know, we tried with Bogarts before the season. We were just too far apart. And they try and do that stupid PR spin that was like, you know, they forced our hand. You know, we didn't want to do this, but we had to. When really it was this team had glaring, solvable problems that did not work, like would not have taken much to solve, and then were just blatantly ignored, and then result was team torn down.
Yeah.
That would just piss me off so much if that was the result.
I think
and the I'm spin just really is coming, hoping man. That's not the case.
The spin is on its way. John Henry is going to come down and give us the spin after this season. I just feel it in my bones. And the thing that, like, you know, makes me more confident than ever that they're going to sell is that, like, you know, we mentioned some of these guys, Vasky, you know, JD. I mean, maybe see what you can get for Duran when his value is really high right now. There's a lot of meat on this team right now that might be able to fetch some really good assets. I mean, I kind of salivate at what Eovaldi could get in a trade. Like, maybe someone believes in Pivetta too. I don't know. He's got a couple years of control left. Like, if you're gonna tear down, if you're gonna have this much turnover on the roster next year and you don't think you're gonna make the playoffs, like, maximize those assets now. And I feel like Chaim Bloom is just not the type of guy who's going to take half measures when it comes to, you know, doing that with talent, because this is the Rays way, right? Like, this is what he came up doing, is figuring out, like, okay, we're out of it. All right, let's go into sell mode and try and fleece some other teams of some good controllable assets. And so I could definitely see it happening. That being said, Keaton, I'm okay with them doing both things. And I'd actually prefer them to do both things. Like, you mentioned the Reynolds and Bednar thing. I still like the idea of that, because both those guys are controllable for so much longer. And I was running through the free agents for next year, like, seeing what path they could have to contend next year. And there's not a lot. Like, out there for the outfield, there's going to be Brandon Nimmo, Aaron Judge, Robbie Grossman, Mitch Haniger. Like, those are the big names. I don't see you signing Judge.
Conforto?
Conforto. I like Reynolds better than all those guys except for Judge, right? So, yeah. Like, you know, why not make a run at those guys? I feel like they should be both. I think they should sell their short-term assets, except for Bogarts. I don't think they should sell Bogarts, because I think that hurts your chances at re-signing him, whereas I think we already talked about it. There's not that many other guys on this list that you'd want to, like, re-sign, and I think that the juicy package that you might be able to get back for Eovaldi might be worth, you know, dumping him, but I don't think anything you can get back for Bogarts is going to be worth what that potentially means to your negotiations with Bogey.
No, and I think that also damages your potential of getting Devers to stay.
Yeah.
After Devers has just watched everybody leave, why would he want to stay?
Yeah, that's a very good point. But the bottom line is, Keaton, I kind of hope that I'm wrong. Well, I definitely hope that I'm wrong. I hope that you know, this team, it's only 3 wins over .500 and the run differential is very average at this point, and it's really hard for me to see a way that this team makes the playoffs with how it's constructed right now. I don't feel like the ownership is going to view this team as worth making short-term investments in. Like, when you look at this roster with all the guys expiring, is it worth it to bring in Josh Bell for half a year? Is it worth it to trade assets to bring Robertson in for half a year? Probably not. But if they can make some of those long-term investments, like the Reynolds, like the Bednar, I'm good with it. I just don't expect them to shop for any rentals at this point.
Perhaps.
Well, put yourself in Bloom's shoes. Would you shop for rentals at this point still? Would that be on the table for you?
Well, I was just going to say, you bring up a good point about that, and I think that may be the best point you've made. That may be tougher to swallow, I suppose. But, I think if I am GM of Red Sox, yeah, I think I would, because I think that they can compete. But so, like, I bring this back to very first sentence of your argument. You said your prediction of 86 wins was assuming healthy Chris Sale, getting Eovaldi out there, Kike doing what he did last year and all that. They're only 2 wins off that pace without that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
It isn't. It is not. And I knew you were a good lawyer, and I knew you were going to come back with that point. so I've been preparing for that. I look at the current roster, and I see a team that resembles more the Orioles and not the freaky deaky 10-win in a row, 11-win in a row Orioles, like the old Orioles. I see a team that like more has more in common with the bottom of the AL at this point than the top of the AL. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, they probably did overperform for all of the injuries that they have. And I think that one of the reasons why they did that was because of all the depth that Bloom has done a really good job of building up. Like, you know, you can't stress how much the value that they've gotten from guys like Cutter Crawford and, you know, Winkowski and all these dudes. Like, that's been huge. And they haven't had that in years past. I just don't think, like, and we're starting to see the cracks in that right now. Winkowski's on the COVID IL. Seabold's done for the year. Walter's just coming back from a neck injury. Like, Bayo's innings are going to be limited going forward. You know, the other two guys, the old men, Waka and Hill, are both on the IL. Like, where are we going to get these innings from the rest of the year?
I'm going to go out there.
All right, Keaton's making a comeback. You going to sign that MLB minimum deal? Get your, like, 700K?
Yeah, prorated.
Prorated? Still a good chunk of change.
Yeah, still pretty good.
Yeah.
So we did have a last-minute question right before we started recording that snuck in from the surfing guy that says buy and sell at the deadline.
I like that. I think they should do that. And I think they should be looking to buy long-term assets for this team while selling their short-term guys that they don't plan on committing to. And if you sneak into the playoffs after doing that, great. If you don't, honestly, great.
I'm kind of with you. Like, if they actually went out and got Reynolds and Bednar, and even if, well, I mean, I do agree with you that Bogarts would need to stay. But then if they traded JD and Kike and Evaldi and all of these other guys that we just talked about, I actually would still feel pretty positive about that trade deadline. I'd still feel like that was a win.
I would too, because it would actually like show me that you have a vision for this team.
Yeah.
In the future. And especially, like, we just went through the outfield for free agents, but like, there's just not a lot of meat on the bone in next year's class. I mean, we're talking like shortstop is good. It's Correa, Turner, Swanson, and Bogey. But everywhere else is like kind of meh. It's just not a lot of good stuff. I mean, there's a couple highlight starting pitchers, Joe Musgrove, Carlos Rodon's out there. Clevinger, if he can prove that he's actually back. Wilson Contreras, Josh Bell, but like it's not a good class overall, so you can't rely on free agencies. So you have to rely on some of this depth that has been built up here by Chaim Bloom. And it, you know, especially like, do you really want to be a bad team going through transition, going into Devers last year under contract? I don't know.
No, I don't.
No.
Because I feel like then that would just solidify, be like, well, if you have no direction and we were just really bad, I'm not staying. So, I feel like there are very obvious moves that you can make here at the trade deadline and set yourself up for heading into free agency that would indicate like some kind of direction to commit to Devers. Be like, hey, here's what we're doing. You should be a part of it. Oh, by the way, here's $300 million.
Yeah, I'm with that. Either way, I think this two-week stretch here very well may define the next 5 years of this team.
Yeah, you're right.
That's scary to think about.
Yes, it is.
I don't like it. I really want the era of Xander and Bogey to last, or Xander and Devers to last for a real long time. So, going to be pretty bummed out if it doesn't. All right, well, that was fun. The MLB draft is actually going on right now. Well, not currently. It's paused for the moment, but it will pick up again tomorrow. And rounds 11 through 20 will be had. But the Red Sox made some selections, so I'm going to run down the selections that they made right now. Number one pick, 24th overall, Mikey Romero, a high school shortstop from Orange Lutheran, California. Committed to LSU. He is friends with Marcelo Mayer, pretty good hit over power type of guy. Might move over to second base. Interesting player there. Cutter Coffey was the second round pick, number 41. He's a shortstop as well, but probably will end up in a corner position. Big power, not as much hit tool. A little bit of concern there with the hit tool. They had a competitive round balance pick, which was 79th overall. That was for losing Eduardo Rodriguez last year. And actually, the second round pick was not their original second round pick. That was for not signing Judd Fabian last year, so they got that one. But with 79th pick overall, they signed Roman Anthony. He's a outfielder from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. Real big prospect, a little bit higher ranked than even the guy who went ahead of him, Cutter Coffey. So a lot to dream on there. And then they went pitcher, Dalton Rogers. Shortstop, Chase Midroth. I think that's how you pronounce his name, from San Diego, college guy. Noah Dean, left-handed pitcher from Old Dominion. Alex Hopp, right-handed pitcher from UNC Greensboro. Then we went Caleb Bolden in the seventh round, right-handed pitcher from TCU. Jonathan Brand, right-handed pitcher from Miami of Ohio. And actually, he was going to transfer to Auburn, so that was interesting. And Brooks Brannon, catcher from Randleman, North Carolina. And Isaac Coffey, no relation to Cutter Coffey, a right-handed pitcher at Oral Roberts. So I went pretty pitcher-heavy in the last, I guess you should say from 3 to 10, they drafted a bunch of pitchers, but they went prep bats for the first three. What stands out about this draft, if anything, so far for you about what the Red Sox did here?
Yeah, I think the first couple picks kind of, I guess, bucked the industry trend, but seemed pretty on brand for what Bloom has done in his time here. Loves prep, middle infield bats. Those have been his first three picks here with the Red Sox. So those are just kind of the way he goes. He loves to get underslot value here at the top of the draft. That's the way he's, well, I mean, Meyer was not an underslot value. That was a surprise. But when he's not picking fourth, going on the slot at the top. I think that part was interesting. Immediately there was, I know, a lot of tweets from folks like, why are they drafting more shortstops? And I know it's, Major League Baseball draft is weird in that we're not going to see these guys for years. Positional stuff will work itself out. I'm very unconcerned with them just loading up on a bunch of shortstops. And particularly, I mean, shortstop is supposed to be the most athletic spot in the diamond. So these guys are all 18 years old. They're not stuck at these positions. They'll figure it out. And having a bunch of players that are really good at one position is not a bad thing to have. So I'm not concerned about the positionality of it at all whatsoever. And we'll just kind of see how these guys pan out. I was surprised there was some college bats I thought that they might go with because they had been linked heavily with them at the 24th pick. That just doesn't seem to be Bloom's way. So I guess I shouldn't have been surprised. But I guess maybe I won't be surprised next year when he takes another California shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, three in a row, that's pretty good. It definitely, I think you nailed it. Like, the archetype for Bloom is prep bats. And I think the Red Sox have figured out that there's quite a bit more value drafting those high school bats, guys who are just, you know, very athletic, lots of tools, maybe haven't been quite as publicized as a lot of the college guys. You know, there's definitely a type here, and there's definitely a tendency to look for hit over power at the top of the draft. We saw that with York. We saw that with Mikey Romero. You know, Meyer has everything, so, you know, you can't say that about him. But, you know, it's an interesting strategy. I like that, you know, Romero, Coffey, and Anthony, like, you know, you could probably take those guys in any order, one, two, or three. So I think they're going to spread the money around a little bit between those three guys and make sure they all get signed. So I think that was a pretty cool strategy as well. You know, we're not going to know anything about this for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
maybe more. Well, not really know anything. We'll probably know a little bit in like a few months or, you know, a year from now, but we won't really, really know anything for a couple of years. But interesting nonetheless, and we'll definitely be diving more into these guys in more specifics on the Red Sox Prospect podcast that we do here at Over the Monster. It's called Red Sox On Deck with Bob and Shelley and occasionally myself. So, you know, stay tuned for an episode on that if you want to get more into that stuff. Okay, I want to end the show before we get to listener questions with taking a look at Rule 5 eligible guys who the Red Sox need to protect this offseason by adding them to the 40-man roster. And I went through it today. And so for those of you out there who are not familiar with the Rule 5 draft, essentially, if you have a guy in your minor league system who's been there for a certain number of years or has reached a certain age, they have to be added to the 40-man roster to be protected, or else they are eligible to be selected by another major league team. The caveat there is not that the other major league team gets to then put them in their farm system and let them sort of develop there. That other major league team has to hold them on their active 26-man roster for the entire year. So, I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds. Like, go back a couple years ago to Jonathan Arayus. You'll recall that the Red Sox held him on the roster for the entire year. So it's something that is a little bit difficult to do. And if you fail to do that, that player goes back to the team. So the Red Sox have some really interesting guys up for Rule 5 eligibility this fall. The reason why I bring this up now, you might be wondering, is because sometimes these Rule 5 log jams create trade opportunities for teams, and teams are more likely to trade guys who they might potentially lose in the Rule 5 draft if they don't plan on protecting them. So, anyhow, without further ado, the guys who I think the Red Sox are going to protect this offseason by adding to the 40-man roster are Tristan Casas, Frank German, Chris Murphy, Sedan Rafaela, Brandon Walter, Thad Ward, and possibly but unlikely speedster David Hamilton, who has really disappointed this year at AA. So he's pretty unlikely at this point, but a name I wanted to float because sometimes it's easy to stash speed guys. Keaton, looking at that list, does anybody stand out to you as somebody who is either a lock to stay here and be added, or be somebody that you think the Red Sox might explore trade talks with as we approach the deadline?
Yeah. Thad Ward is an interesting one. I think he might be a candidate for trade. He's 25, and he's only at 8 innings at above A ball at this point. He has been good when he's been out there, but he just hasn't really been out there a lot. It seems like, you know, he has issues with walks, but the strikeouts have always been there. The ERA's been fine. So it's he's kind of like a tweener for me because I don't really know how he slots in. He's obviously pretty old for the level now. He might be one that slots into a trade that someone thinks that they can figure out. He's an interesting one that if I was another team, I actually might ask about.
Yeah.
As a piece of a larger deal. but I just don't know how he fits in with the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, I think you make an interesting point about how much development time he's missed because he underwent Tommy John surgery. And the fact that he is healthy and he's actually really throwing well right now does make him more attractive to other teams. But like, there's clearly a good bit of development still that needs to go on with him, and he just needs to pitch some innings. So I think that's a really good answer for that one. The other guys who I'd kind of eyeball here are for different reasons. Chris Murphy and Brandon Walter, the two pitchers, have thrown really exceptionally well this year, but still like kind of have an iffy projection. Like they're sort of maybe a fifth starter, maybe a long reliever, like not exactly sure where they fit in a major league roster. So I could see them being added as a piece to a deal. And then Sedan Rafaela, I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is right now. He's having a true breakout season. He's the best defender in the system by far, and he's hitting this year. However, his approach is still extremely aggressive, and he doesn't walk. So I could see the Red Sox trying to go out and get a big piece, like maybe say, you know, if they were to acquire Reynolds, maybe he's a part of that package. Going back for that, I think his value is tremendously high right now. So I could see him as a possibility. I think the only guy on this list that is very much untradeable for the Red Sox, unless Soto is coming back, is Tristan Casas. I think he's very much part of their plan. What do you think about that?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Got to keep the big man.
Bow show.
All right. Let's get to some questions here. First question comes from House of Kuzu. He says, where do you think Xander will end up getting traded? Padres, Dodgers, Cardinals, or Astros?
That sucks. surprisingly, I don't think any of those. Actually, you know what? Maybe Padres would. I mean, if he gets traded and it's to one of these teams, I think the Padres make the most sense.
Padres got a guy named Fernando Tatis coming back in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but he's also been playing a bunch in the outfield. If they're trying to protect him, they might stick him there. And if you're looking for a rental, for a push, it makes sense.
All right. I'm going to figuratively slam my hand on the table right now because I don't want to spill my water. Xander is not getting traded.
Done. I will say, though, that I talked to a scout with the Cardinals, and their interest in Xander Bogaerts is non-existent. That was, I know in the beginning of the season, there was a bunch of, like three different national people that, like, all ended up writing stories on the same day about, like, the Cardinals reaching out to the Red Sox about Xander Bogaerts. And when I heard that, I immediately messaged the scout that I know and was like, hold on, is this a real thing? And he was like, it absolutely is not. And I was like, oh, thank God. It was just commentary pieces that people ended up writing. And there were, thankfully, in that situation where there was smoke, there was not fire. So
yeah,
Cardinals definitely not a destination.
Pretty good guy there right now.
They sure do.
Of Tommy Edman.
They sure do.
Ben Jacobson has our next question. He says, do you think the Red Sox won the Steve Pierce trade considering Espinal is a very versatile all-star caliber player right now? What do you think about that one, Keaton?
Yes.
I will not say that they won. I will say that it is one of those rare situations where this trade worked out pretty much perfectly for everybody, because Steve, we don't win the World Series without Steve Pierce, so Obviously we win. And then they got a young, controllable, versatile guy in Santiago Espinal, who's probably not an all-star caliber player. He made it in by the fan vote. If you look at his numbers, actually, he's, you know, a very good player this year, but he's definitely, there's several guys who are more deserving of being there at his position than he is. But he's like a very nice player, and he's been a good development story for them. So I say win-win.
Yeah, 100%. Got that series.
Next one comes from House of Kuzu again. He says, would you trade Devers straight up for Juan Soto? both in contract negotiations, endeavors will be cheaper for the Nats, and the Sox get a younger player with better defense.
Yeah, 100% I would, but 0% chance the Nats would.
Yeah. Yeah. I would trade anybody for Juan Soto. I would trade Xander and Devers for Juan Soto. I would trade most of the team for Juan Soto.
Would you trade him in a house? Would you trade him with a mouse?
I would trade him with a mouse.
Everybody for Juan Soto.
Yeah. Name your price. And the last one here came directly to me. This was a question about Rule 5, and he was asking kind of, you know, why do we even mention this Rule 5 stuff? It's not hard to make room on the 40-man. Free agents go off the 40-man as well, and you can also DFA guys. So why do we mention it? The reason why is because the list of potential guys that the team might lose through the Rule 5 draft is pretty extensive. And also, when guys leave in free agency, those guys have to be replaced on the roster. So it's really not, you know, as simple as saying like, oh, the Red Sox have 12 guys who are likely to leave as major league free agents. So no, that's just 12 spots. So like, why worry about this? Well, you have to actually field a major league team the next year. So, you know, you're usually fielding that with guys who are already on your 40-man roster or with free agent acquisitions. So the roster spots run out a lot quicker than it seems like, and you don't want to just DFA guys who could potentially bring back trade value for you in different deals. So 26 spots, 40 spots might seem like a lot, but with all the moving parts, you know, 180 guys in the minor leagues as well, that's a lot of guys to manage.
Sure is.
Yeah. And that was from Ralph Buscagno. So, all right. That has been our show. We do appreciate it. Stay with us. Tune in for future episodes. And hopefully the next couple of weeks will provide clarity for what the Red Sox future will look like. And hopefully it is a bright one. So, Keaton, thank you for joining me today. And you can find Keaton on Twitter at The Spoken Keats. You can find me on Twitter at DevJake. You can find the Over the Monster account at Over the Monster. And we'll be with you next week.